Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, hey, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 today. Matthew chapter 25, and that's what we're going to look at, starting from verse 31. We're doing a series called Faithful Presence. It'll take us through the end of the month, and then maybe even in a little bit into November. But the idea of faithful presence is, I think as Christians, we have this idea of changing the world, okay? And the idea of faithful presence, we looked at the first week, is God's instruction through Jeremiah to the people of Israel when they were in Babylon. They're in Babylon because they're on a timeout, okay? All right, they were bad, and God says, I'm going to put you on a timeout, and so they go to Babylon for 70 years. So that's kind of a long timeout, isn't it? It is there they are in captivity, and false prophets are saying, hey, you know what, God's going to deliver us and take us right back, and God speaks to Jeremiah and says, no. You are going to be there for a while. In fact, you're going to be there for 70 years. So he tells them, build homes, get married, have kids. And then he gives them some instructions. He goes, I want you to engage your culture. And I want you to seek its welfare. I want you to pray for it. Because as it prospers, you will prosper. Isn't that interesting? And when you really think about it, God was telling them to seek the welfare of who? Their enemy, right? Their captives. They were a heathen nation, and yet we know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all became significant leaders within that system. Daniel would be in one of the top positions, and they influenced people. It wasn't always rosy because the three of them spent a day in the fiery furnace, right? How many want to spend a day in the fiery furnace? Okay. Daniel spent the night in a lion's den, didn't he? Because he sought God, and he lived out his testimony and his faith. But God took care of them through that. They were a faithful presence in that, in the Babylon and then later Persia while they were there. In fact, there's still a large concentration of Jews that live in that region in Iran today. So that is what we're talking about in faithful presence. Last week we talked about kind of just broadening this idea of what faithful presence is, different aspects of it. And so we talked about the ministry of reconciliation. So we talked about Paul says in 2 Corinthians that God has called us ambassadors for Christ and that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So when two people are our enemies or opposed to each other, when they are reconciled, those things are amended, they're healed, there's reconciliation. So you can use that in the terms of marriage, you can use it in terms of just relationships. Paul uses it in the situation that our relationship with Christ was reconciled. We were enemies of Christ, right? And Christ went to the cross, died on the cross for our sins. He took our sin upon himself, and therefore our sin was removed, and we could have peace with God. But he also talks about us then also sharing that reconciliation, that we want to proclaim that truth to the people around us, all right? So do you all have friends? Do you all work with people that don't know Christ? God has called you to be an ambassador to them, to share the ministry of reconciliation, to share Christ for one thing, but also to provide healing with those people. In other words, I can guarantee you probably all friends with somebody that's maybe going through a divorce, that is maybe having relationship issues at work, okay? They're just not seeing eye to eye with their boss, or maybe they're having issues in school, in college. God has called us to be resemble his presence, his values, his kingdom values. So when we talk about that, we live in a culture that is prideful, that is hateful, that is selfish, that is violence. Just think of all the things that have happened in the past since summer, right? Tornado, probably some tornadoes, but definitely hurricanes, right? Three, four of them? How many? Five of them?
The fires.
Fires, yes. We've had the fires in California. Then we've had the shootings. We've had all this. A lot has happened in our nation. that I believe that God can use us to be a faithful presence in our world, to be salt and light, to represent Christ. Today I want us to look at the discipline of being faithfully present among the least of these. So that's what we're going to look at. There's several passages that we can look at. Andy read the passage in Acts. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 25. And it's a passage that talks about end times. So it begins with the parable of the 10 virgins, and it talks about the parable of the talents. And then now we have the sheep and the goats. And he talks about some of the end time things, but he also talks about ministry amongst the least of these. So let's look at this together. Let's bow our heads in prayer and just invite God's presence here. Father, this morning, we just invite your presence here today, dear God. And Father, we just pray that you would take your word, make it come alive to us today, Father. Speak to us, and your word is quick, it is powerful, it is sharp than any two-edged sword. So Lord, let it come and work in our hearts and in our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So he's talking about the end of the age, right? Okay. And hopefully we're on the right, not the left, right? The sheep are on the right, goats are on the left. And we're going to understand this a little bit more. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Verse 37. The righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whenever you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Now, just a little bit of understanding there. Some people would use this as a blanket statement that we are to help everybody that would fall into this category, at least of these. Okay? Now it says these brothers of mine, so some would say it is a reference to those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, and due to persecution and all the things that are happening, they get scattered. And if you run across another brother and sister in Christ, you are to take them in, because if you minister to them, you are ministering to who? You're ministering to Christ. I think what we're going to share this morning, however you understand, I think either understanding of that, we do justice to it, okay? So he is saying, whenever you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Verse 41, then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, for you are cursed, and you're going to go to eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So that's called the fiery place, Gehenna. That is typically when we use that term hell is what we mean, place of burning. Depart from me, for you are cursed. And for I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I'll tell you the truth. Whenever you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Wow. There's a lot in that passage, isn't there? I think at face value, I think we've understood this, that we are to help people that are in need, right? And that when we're doing that, we are helping Christ. And I've even actually understood it at times to be that, you know, maybe that person is Christ in disguise. You ever thought about that? There is a passage of Scripture that talks about it. You may be entertaining angels in disguise. But I don't necessarily know if that's what it necessarily means as much as it means that that Christ is present. So I want us to look at, there are some great systems and ministries that have been organized to meet needs in our community. Can you think of some that help to meet the needs of poverty, of hunger, sickness? People City Mission would be one that's close to home. Backpack is, that's another close one, right? Salvation Army, yeah. What's that? Convoy of Hope, yeah. World Vision, Samaritan's Purse. Those are all great organizations and ministries that help people out. Okay, so when I'm sharing this message, I'm not saying stop those things and supporting those things, okay? But I think at times we rely on those things, those systems too much and forget what we're going to talk about this morning. And so there's some keys that I want us to look at. First of all, in your program, you can get point one there. First, Jesus, I believe, is present among the least of these. That's the first point. Jesus is present among the least of these. And I don't think it's so much that that person is Jesus, but I think that when we get out of our comfort zone or we spend time with people that are in need, whether they're dealing with health issues, sickness, whether they're just dealing with poverty and difficulties there, whether they're in a nursing home, okay? They are sometimes considered what we call in this category of the least of these, okay? Sometimes they're left out by society. They're off the radar, so to speak. And I think what Jesus is really talking about here is that when we minister to people in that situation, he is present amongst that environment, okay? Not so much that he is the person, but he is present as we minister. Think about it. Do you think when we get to heaven that there's going to be rich and poor? Is there going to be sickness? We know there's not going to be sickness, right? So, I believe that one of the things of faithful presence is that we are demonstrating the values of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And we, you know, this earth was not a perfect place, and we are never going to, it will never be heaven on earth, okay? But we know when Jesus walked the earth, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cleansed the leper, he ministered to people. Those are the people he hung out with, right? And he was there. And I believe he wants us to follow his heart. And so ministries that help out the least of these, you know, we give money to them and they get it hopefully to the right place, okay? They are good, but what they do lack is relationship, okay? I'm giving money, but I never get a chance to meet that person, right? I really talk with them. Sometimes you do. But in a lot of those cases, maybe you helped out with the hurricanes, okay? Or maybe you helped out with the fires. You gave through Convoy of Hope or other ministries there. Okay, so you gave the money, but you never got to connect with those people, did you? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you didn't have the chance to experience what Christ wanted to do in that situation. Now, if you maybe traveled down to our pastor in Mitchell, South Dakota, where my folks go, he took a couple people and they went down to Houston, because Houston was one of the first places affected by that first hurricane. And so they went down there and they took a crew and they actually helped some families out. Now you're fellowshipping with the people that have been affected. You're probably having meals with them. You're working side by side. You're sharing life with them, right? And their circumstance. And Christ comes into that. I want to illustrate it another way. There's a man by the name of Henry Nguyen. Henry Nguyen, I think Chris is going to pull up a picture of him. But he was a priest. Was in the Catholic faith. But he ministered for 25 years as a priest. He was a professor at Harvard for 20 years. Was a renowned professor, was well-respected and honored. But he got to the middle of his life, and he felt, instead of feeling close to God, and instead of feeling connected, you know, you would think that you've walked with God that long, that, you know, you should be connected, you would be spiritually mature. And I think he was spiritually mature, but he felt dry spiritually. And he sought God, he fasted, he prayed, and finally he heard the voice of God, and God just really said, I want you to go and work among the least of these, and there I will heal you. And so after 20 years of teaching at Harvard, after being a priest, he left all that, and he went to work with it's La Arc community up in Toronto. It's working with people that are emotionally, physically handicapped, disabled. He went to work with them. And he would live out basically the rest of his life living with them. And he credits it to saving his life and his ministry. And this is what he said. He went from working with the brightest and those who wanted to rule the world to working with those who had few or no words and were considered at least marginal to the needs of society. It was amongst these people that he discovered Christ in a whole new way. His life was transformed. He went from seeking relevance to seeking prayer. He went from seeking popularity to seeking ministry. And he went from leading to being led. And so he details some of those things in a book called In the Name of Jesus. But he shares about that. And so it was actually his involvement in getting right down in the nitty-gritty of working with people that we would consider the least of these, that God began to work in his life, and he began to really experience Christ as a whole new level that he had never witnessed before. And so in that book, he kind of details some of that. And I believe we need to keep giving to ministries and organizations that help the homeless, the poor, the disadvantaged. We need to do that. But I think we also need to go that extra step of being present, physically present with the least of these in our communities that we reside in Creed and Sprague and wherever that may be, that there we will experience the presence of Christ in a whole new way. Is that making sense? Number two, being present opens the door for ministry. Being present opens the door for ministry. So in our text, did the people give any money to the people that were considered the least of these? Did they give any money? What did they give? Food? Water? Boy, water's expensive, huh? Water? Place to stay for the night? Maybe some clothes? How many have clothes in your house that you don't wear anymore, right? Yeah. Gave them some clothes, things to wear. And one book that is entitled Faithful Presence, he just talks about that often being physically present and showing a faithful presence among the least of these doesn't usually cost us money, because that's what we're worried about. He says what matters most is just being with the people and being present with them. And as we do, it becomes a sacred place. It becomes a holy place. It becomes holy ground where God can manifest his supernatural power. So in the early church, so I'm talking about in the first couple hundred years of the church from Acts on, the first 200 years before Constantine would come into power. In that first 200 years, the church would come along the sick, alongside the sick, the poor, the homeless. They would go into the prisons and minister to people. And it made the Roman government upset because they took pride in pride, okay? That was a value with them, is pride, and they were that dominant thing. And here you have these Christians working in their region, in the parts of their nation, reaching out to the poor, the prisoned, and those in prison, helping those out. Some of them would die, of course, in the Colosseums, but God's presence was shining through their life. And people began to come know Christ. And so as they ministered to the sick, they anointed them, people were healed, lives were restored, lives were changed, people were healed. And the result, the gospel continued to spread like wildfire from community to community as they did that. And so when we are physically present amongst people, that opens the door for ministry, doesn't it? To pray for needs. And sometimes I think we always think we're going to meet a need with money. That's probably one of the biggest things about our government that I don't agree with, is that we always think if we throw money at our schools, we throw money at this, we throw money at that, that's going to solve the problem. And it doesn't always solve the problem. And I think for the church, God has called us to come alongside the least of these and to be there. A metro church, church in a metro area, maybe I'll say it that way, decided to open up a soup kitchen. This is based on a true story. They did that several miles away, so they'd take a group of people from their community, from their church, and they'd go to this other neighborhood community just situated a few miles away. And they'd do that on a Sunday afternoon, so they opened up the soup kitchen, did it for several months. And finally, they said they wanted to get some feedback from the people that they were helping. They said, what do you think? we want some feedback of how this is going. They said, well, it's going fine, but what we would really prefer is, you know, we have some food too, and we get some food stamps and stuff like that. We would like to be able to contribute towards the meal. We want you to, and we want to help with the setup and the teardown, and we want to actually have a meal with you, not you just serving us. We want to have a meal with you. And so they took that to heart, and so they began to restructure it and began to make it more of a fellowship time with people of need in that community. And what happened is that over months, there began to be some deep relationships that were formed by the people in the church and the people in that community, which led to the people from the church, about 20 of them, leaving their homes from where they were at and moving into that community that was distressed, that had issues, but they left where they were at and moved into that community. Guess what? So then God began to just manifest his presence there. Now you have a church, you had a church there, and God began to do some great things. Okay? There's a difference between supporting a ministry that you give to that helps provide a need and actually getting out there yourself and being present with people. Am I making sense? And often when we talk about meeting the least of these, we talk about usually we're thinking we have to give towards something. And maybe what God wants us to give the most is just to give our life and to invest our life in people around us and to be present with them. By being present with them, we open up a space for Christ to come in and display his mighty power. It opens the door for ministry. And God has given us his Holy Spirit, right? He's given us, and through the Holy Spirit, he's given us the gift of healing, of prophecy, edification, those things. And God can work those through our life as we're put in a place where they are needed, right? And God can flow through us to meet those needs. Now, let me give an illustration a little bit closer to home. I think it's probably about within the last year, probably 6 to 8 months ago, Liz Sanchez got word to me, and actually, Kathy, where are you at? Kathy was here. She's still here. Kathy was here. Kathy Kramer. But Kathy said, you know, Liz wants to talk to you. Kathy works at Crete Manor, Premier Estates. Said, Liz wants to talk to you. So I came and talked to Liz. And she's a resident there. She was attended our church, and she still does now. But before then, she was healthy, and then she had some brain tumors, and so she's lost her ability to walk and lost most of her sight. And so she goes, I want a Bible study. We have Jehovah Witnesses coming in here, and they're wanting to teach us. She goes, I don't feel right about that. And I said, that's good. And she said, I just need somebody, somebody would be willing to come and lead me in a Bible study. So I began asking around, and Georgia was willing to take that up, and Karen also has helped her out. So they began going in, and so it wasn't only started off with Liz, but then Liz invited, she got word of that, so she began inviting all her friends. And so some days they've had 5-6 people there. And so Georgia will give me an update, and so they'll do a Bible study, but then they take time to pray for needs that are there. Wow. And they're seeing God answer prayer for the needs, the health needs, and the other situations. See, as Georgia and Karen have been physically present, God has opened up the door for ministry, right? And God has begun to manifest his presence. And both of them, Karen and Georgia, have come to me, and they're excited about what God is doing. Isn't that cool? See, when we're willing to go and to minister and be present among people that, whether, I don't care if they're homeless, I don't care if they're if it's a financial thing. In the nursing homes, there's health issues there. I'm sure most of them would say if they wanted to be there or not, they would say, I don't want to be there, okay? I don't know. Being in a nursing home isn't my favorite place to be, okay? I said, if I go, I just want to go fast. But that's not the way it always goes, is it? Not the way it always goes. Go preaching, right? Be preaching and terrorize, traumatize everybody. All right. Being physically present with people, that faithful presence amongst the least of these, is, I think, where we can discover Christ in a whole new way. The third point that I want to pull out of here is that faithful presence changes us and it changes our world. It changes us and it changes our world. We need to support organizations and ministries that meet the needs, especially when we are here and those needs are there. Maybe they're across the ocean or maybe they're across our country, okay? So this message is, what can we do where we live? whether it is Lincoln, whether it is Crete, whether it is Sprague, whether it is Dorchester and Wilbur, what can we do to provide faithful presence in our communities where we are seeing God work among the people of our community? Often when these systems, although they are needed, they create distance between people rather than community. Right? There's something about when you have this gift or whatever and you provide it, the giver is coming in above the receiver. Does that make sense? One is up here, one's down here. Instead of you being coming together to fellowship, to be together, where you're all in that same playing field. And so they even talk about that just the greater the gift, the more distance is created. And I know that is not what we want, but often those programs keep the poor at our doorstep. They keep them out of our lives instead of in our lives. And see, there's people out there that are very generous, but they keep the people at a distance. And I'm not saying that of you, okay? And maybe that is the case. But often those programs keep people at a distance. We never even have to get into their life to minister to them, but the problem is we don't get to experience being allowing Christ to work through that and having that chance to minister to people. I recently saw in the news there was a job fair, I think it was in Lincoln, it might have been in Omaha, but it was for homeless people. And it was to help them finding jobs, and so you have these people, they have their name tags on, and you know, and how many saw that in the news? They were doing that, and then there was homeless people there. But what I noticed about the homeless people is they looked like everybody else. Because one was a veteran, somebody that had been served our country, and he was probably in his 30s. But he's just had a hard time getting established back here, holding down a job, okay, and a lot of our veterans do. They look like a normal person. But see, there was this distance. You had the people that were helping and the people that had come. And I kind of felt bad because if I was homeless or in that situation, I think I'd have been kind of embarrassed. I have too much pride, honestly. But there creates that distance. What we're talking about is coming alongside people as we recognize the needs and being there for them. Whether it is sick, the poor, homeless, forgotten by society. I think about our nursing homes. I don't think when we're at that stage now where Amy's dad had to be in the nursing home for just a little bit before he passed away. Some people are there for a long time. We've had people from this church that have gone into that. And sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? We forget about them. We forget about them. Joyce is here on most Sundays. But when's the last time that some of you have went to go into her world and just, she would love to have a visit from each of us. You know, everybody expects the pastor to go. But I think it means even a little bit more when it's somebody just in the congregation that goes and hangs out with them, has a cup of coffee or tea with them, and fellowship with them. It is there we create sacred space and Christ is present. The discipline of the least of these is not so much a program as much as it's going to the people in a missional way, allowing Christ to manifest his presence as we come alongside them. I've seen poverty here in our nation. I've seen it in other parts of the world, Guyana, Belize, Jamaica. It all looks different in different places. And I think if we get it, if we're not afraid to be in contact with that and to get in with those people, I think we can be a benefit to them, but I think sometimes we come away changed, more changed than they are, because we see Christ in a whole new way. We discover Christ in a whole new way. It changes us. It changes our world. I think about our craft night that the ladies do on Thursday nights. It's a time of fellowship. They have too much fun doing it sometimes. They even have popcorn and stuff. They're doing their hobby. But I've also seen lives being changed during that as well. People picking up new skills and learning new things that can bless their family and be a blessing in their home. And I think that's a cool thing. That is one way we demonstrate physical, faithful presence. This passage that we are talking about, I'm having the musicians come, talks about who's going to heaven and who's going to go into eternal destruction. The sheep and the goats, right? The sheep get to go with Jesus into heaven. And I think the key here is because they have followed the leading of the Good Shepherd. And when you really look at the ministry of Jesus, who did he spend most of his time with? Did he spend most of his time hanging out with the religious leaders? No. He hung out praying for people that had sickness and disease. Even the demon-possessed. Oh, that really is where I want to be, right? People, the crazy people, right? Threatening to kill you. The demon-demoniac, right? Hey, that's where I want to be. I tell you what, that's exciting, though. Gives you something to talk about. But we don't want to run into things like that. We want to keep it safe. We want to stay where we're comfortable. But see, Jesus left his comforts to be among the people that were marginalized by society. He ministered to them. People that were out of connection with God, they were sick. Many of them were poor, they didn't have a lot. And that's who he went to. And see, Jesus is our good shepherd, isn't he? And if we are his sheep, it says in Scripture, we will know his... what?
Voice.
We'll know his voice. We'll follow his leading. And I think we also capture his heart. And I believe that faithful presence, one of the ways we practice faithful presence is just being open to how God wants to manifest himself amongst people that have been left out by society. And we go there and we meet with them, not just as something we can check off of our list, but to actually treat them as human beings who have value. Because who knows, any of us could be in that same situation, right? But for God. Some of us could have been born into a situation that when I go like to Jamaica or a Guyana or a Belize and I see the poverty there and I think, why was I born here and why were they born there? They didn't do anything wrong. What did they do to experience that poverty? And nothing. It's just the way it is. And when we get to heaven, I don't think there's going to be those distinctions. I think as we minister to the least of these, I think we get a little bit of taste of heaven. I'm reading a book on the life of the Francis of Assisi. He would start a monastic order. But Francis of Assisi was raised in a very wealthy home. His father was into clothing, buy and sell. He was a merchant that would buy and sell clothing. Worked hard at it, became wealthy. So Francis was in line to follow in his father's footsteps. And he got into his teen years and into his 20s. He partied. He did what a lot of the young people did during his age. He wanted to be medieval age, so then he wanted to be a knight. And so there was all these stories of men that had killed the dragons, and it comes out of that time period. And so that was his goal, to be a knight. Have wealth, chivalry, and all that type of stuff. But in the process, God would change his heart. He would forsake all the wealth that was inherited to him from his parents, and he would devote his time to helping out the least of these. He would give his whole heart, his whole life to that. And his famous quote is, "Tell others about Christ, and if necessary, use words." In other words, you're communicating Christ by your actions and by what you do. And so he gave his life to that. I think of Mother Teresa, also in the Catholic faith, but she went to the poorest of the poor. She sensed that's where God wanted to work. And I don't think she ever regretted what she did. She got to see some incredible miracles and see God's hand. Mark Montaigne worked in that same area with the Assemblies of God. Working among the least of these. And you know what? I don't think we have to go to India to work among the least of these. I think we can right here in Crete, Wilbur, Sprague, can't we? And I think not because we are bad, but sometimes we need our eyes opened to the needs around us, because we go from one place to the other because we have our list of things to do. We have our agenda. life, but we pass by needs all the time. And we may be passing up opportunities to discover Christ in a whole new way. Amen? It may mean getting out of our comfort zone. It may mean some of our time. It may mean a few other things. But it's pretty sobering when Jesus says, we're going to come to the end of the age, and he says, you know what? I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was homeless and you didn't give me a place to stay. That God takes this discipline of being amongst the least of these. So I know I need God to stretch my heart. Sometimes it's easier for me to do it someplace else. When I get back in my own community, I get on autopilot, right? And I sometimes miss the needs that are right here. What is God calling you to? That's the important thing. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that is the shepherd of our heart. What is he speaking to your heart this morning? What are needs that he's wanting you to fill and to come alongside and to create some space where he can come in the midst of it and display his power, his presence, and meet needs there, and so that the kingdom of God comes to earth. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to sing that chorus. What's the name of it? Hear Us from Heaven. We sang it a couple weeks ago. Would you just allow God to speak to your heart and your life this morning? Christy and Victor and Yolanda are going to be at the front. If you have a need this morning, I encourage you to come, and they will agree with you in prayer for a need this morning. Come alongside you. Amen. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. It is quick and powerful. And Father, we just invite your Holy Spirit to take what has been spoken here, to take your word. It is ultimately your word, to take it and speak it to our heart and our life today. So, Lord, we just invite your Spirit to come and allow it to seal it in our hearts today. Lord, whatever ways that we need to change, I pray that we change, whether it's behavior, whether it's attitudes, whatever it's thoughts, Lord, we want to be your vessels that you can flow through. We want your power to be demonstrated in our communities. Lord, we want you to spread your presence. Lord, we have a role in that of being faithfully present. As we are faithfully present, as we provide the ministry of reconciliation, as we are willing to minister and be present among the least of these, Father, God, you have promised to be there, to be present there with them. And so, Father, speak to our hearts, change and transform us, renew us, I pray. Amen. We need the programs and the systems. Randy and Ann know that. Had many programs and systems have helped them. The fire caught fire, home caught fire. Lost a lot of things. So those systems are important. But also still that faithful presence of the body of Christ and us just being there, people. Sharing and giving. That's what the early church did, right? Each of them shared as there was need, and so nobody went without because the body of Christ just provided for each other. And they extended that out to their communities, into the highways and byways. Amen. Father, this morning I pray you go with us. And Father, your presence goes with us. And so wherever we go, work, school, Walmart even, your presence is going with us. And Lord, ministry can happen here within a church building. But most of your ministry took place outside any religious center of worship. It took place out in the streets, out on the hillside. And Lord God, I believe that is where you want us to demonstrate your power and your might and your presence. God, that you can flow through us, each and every one of us here. You can use any of us to pray for somebody, pray for healing, for strength, provision. You can use any of us. And so, Father, I pray that you would just go before us this week. Open our eyes and ears to hear the voice and the presence of your Spirit, to be led by you, to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, the leading of your Spirit. We give you the thanks this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Shake the hands with a couple people. It says you're leaving here to go into the mission field, all right? I'm commissioning you all.